Hey guys, Steve here. Just before we get into today's show, I want to talk to you quickly about Benzen Video Productions. Do you have a business company website and you have written testimonials on it? Why not bring them to life with video? It's a great icebreaker to keep your clients in the loop via email and social media. Maybe you've got a new product you want to show off to your clients. Or maybe you've got a bigger presentation. You need a high-class video to show potential clients what you can do. Why not use Benzen Video Productions to do that? They're Melbourne-based with international experience working for the BBC, the Olympics. You can find them online at benzen.com.au. That's benzen.com.au.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Draft Doctors. We hope you had a Merry Christmas. I'm your host, Steve Fizz. John Crockett is away. He's on his honeymoon. That's right. There was actually a woman willing to take on that sort of responsibility. I don't know how she's done it, but it's lasted at least a couple months. Anyway, to debate this keepers show, a man who knows more about keepers than I do, welcome to the Statesman.
It's only keeper leagues that I know more of. I've offered salaries before, but no one's taken the wife role from me so far.
Well, John's in Vietnam. I hear that's the... Well, I'm not going to go there. What do you got planned for the new year, Statesman?
Salad, of course, but being in the lovely state of Tasmania, no doubt I'll be enjoying quite a few plenos.
Sounds really nice. We actually had a review, Statesman. We really appreciate all the people who leave us iTunes reviews. It really helps the show out. This one comes in from Bales, and he says, despite the puzzling infatuation with Reece Palmer, the boys, along with the Statesman, produce a weekly podcast that is informative and entertaining, covering all things in the AFL fantasy draft format. Loving the way they go about it. We certainly appreciate that, Bales. And it goes hand in hand with something else we're running. That's our Listener League contest. Look, we're looking for fun entries this year. Certainly apply to us via the Twitter, which is at the Draft Doctors. On the Facebook page where we're The Draft Doctors, you'll find that page. Or via email, which is thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. So send us in your funny memes, a funny story, something about fantasy draft. That's certainly fantastic. If you can't think of anything, the very least you could do is leave an iTunes review and screen cap it and send us through. It really takes only a couple minutes to do, but it does help the show out in terms of rankings and where we're seen on iTunes, so more people can get the fantasy goodness. Now, today, Statesman, we're doing something we've never done before. The people demanded it, and that's the Keepers Show.
Yeah, no, I love Keeper Leagues, I must be honest, because it's all about the long-term strategy, and that's what I certainly love. And today I'm going to share a fair bit about the list management, which is hugely important when we're talking Keeper Leagues. For those that play the normal draft format, it's only a 12-month commitment that you make, but like Jono, you've got to think long-term and make the big commitment when you go into the Keeper Leagues, and that's what I'm going to share my thoughts about how you should list manage.
Well, it's certainly interesting to me. Obviously, the listeners of the show would know I'm a big NFL fan. I play in a Keeper League in the NFL fantasy world. We see so many questions about keepers coming to the show. It felt like the right time to do it. Obviously, with the Statesman coming on board, it's one of his passions in regards to fantasy football. We see a lot of different formats. As we've seen, people like to play in leagues where they have position changes, where they don't have position changes. People like to play Supercoach, people like to play Dream Team. People like to play two rucks, one ruck. The keepers, man, there is a whole different way you can keep players. Some we've seen, they only keep one. Some keep a couple, some keep half a team, some keep a full team. So the Statesman's going to touch on a different bunch of strategies. We're going to talk about some older players, some younger players, and we hope it's certainly all relevant to you. I guess as a general sense, we'll be talking about the leagues that are keeping around 8 or 10 players, as that seems to be the most common that we've come across. So why don't you take us away through some strategies? that people can employ?
Yeah. I certainly will. I'll just mainly talk about the list management side of things. And my preference is the 18 a field, 4 on the bench, and then whatever amount of emergencies you want, and actually keeping 10 to 12 players. The preference for most is around that 10 mark. So it's just over 50% of your starters that you're keeping. So I want to talk about how to list manage and how you should go about it when you're in season. So I'll talk about strategy number one, and that's if you're basically in the top four, and therefore you should be going for your premiership. That's your list management strategy is I want to win, but be careful not to sell your soul in the search for victory. I think that's hugely important because everyone knows, whether it's real football or fantasy football, premierships are hard to win. We got Big Cox, for example, won a premiership in the Listener League, not bitter at all, but he got it by Nick Riewoldt scoring 200. Now, the reality was, if you look at his list and my list, probably the comparison is that mine had more established premiums, had more stars, had more 100 scorers that week, so therefore I had a better list, but it doesn't mean you win each and every week. So they're hard to win. So your strategy must be not all out for 1 year. It needs to be ensuring that you're managing and planning for the future, because no one wants to have that North Melbourne press conference all out for the win and then all out for development, because effectively that's what that football club did. It traded in age players for a few years. It had its own aging players. This is North Melbourne I'm talking about. And all of a sudden it didn't work. They finished in eighth position and therefore delisted four of their star players. If you do that in fantasy football, that four of your absolute gun scorers are all retiring in the same year, you've lost 40% of your keepers effectively. So it could be a long road to recovery. You've got to sit there in the draft. And we always need to be thinking of how can I go for a run where I'm in the tilt to win three or four premierships, not just the one, because you might scrape home with one or two premierships that way. Does that make sense, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. No one wants to be handing over that. Maybe if you're playing a money league, you don't want to be handing over your $50 for 3 years knowing I can't bloody win the thing.
Absolutely. And this is where the thought process needs to be smart. So I'll look at a couple examples in 2006 of players that scored relatively the same. The older players I'm going to talk about were actually averaging a little bit higher. But if you were offered either Lee Montagna or Robbie Gray in 2006, it's a simple answer for a forward line player. Even though Montagna averaged higher, Robbie Gray should be the man you go for, because he's going to be a keeper league stud for 5 to 7 years. The same with Adam Cooney and Jared Lyons. Go Jared Lyons, a little bit lower, but he's going to continue to play and continue to be your second or third forward for the next 5 to 10 years. And using another example, two GWS players, and because I love keeping bringing him up, Lunch Meat versus Steve Johnson. So Devon Smith and Steve Johnson. The answer should be Devon Smith, whether that's talking about Steve Motlop or Steve Johnson. I'll get over it very soon.
I want to check your coffee mug, see what's actually in it, and you're talking things like that. That's crazy talk.
But the reality is you've got to go Devon Smith all the time. So when you're looking to have that tilt, do a bit of a trade, make sure you look for someone that's going to be value not just now but for the future as well. So all three I've selected here are yet to prove their ceiling compared to the fantasy studs, Montagna, Cooney and Stevie J. But they will all be there to play for your next premiership, not just the tilt you're doing right now. So don't get sucked into names over your team's future. That's the important strategy here. Jared Mivay is a classic example over the last 2 years where people keep on picking him and selecting him in drafts, or trading in for him or picking him up in salary cap because he's a name, not what he's been delivering over the last 2 years. The other side of that is if you're not in premiership contention, then build your next premiership teams. There are no fines or suspensions for tanking here. You can actually go and utilise the players and stocks that you have within your fantasy, your keeper league, and actually sell them out for your future. So if you're sitting in eighth or ninth and you look at the top three or four and know you're not going to break them in, then look at the assets you got that might have 1, 2, or 3 years left of good scoring. Sell your soul and bring in quite a few that can actually feed up for your next tilt at it. So we'll use some examples. And these are the type of players that should have been outgoing in 2006. James Kelly, Lee Montagne, Nick Riewoldt, Matt Prittis. I know that sounds odd, but the man's only got 2 or 3 years left in him. Then he's a valuable asset for you to redesign. Sam Mitchell, Gary Ablett, Cade Simpson, Brendan Goddard, Bernie Vince, David Mundy. You can name a whole list. Sean Burgoyne, I've added on just for you, Steve. Stevie Johnson, Jared McVeigh, as I mentioned before, Jared Waite and Brent Harvey. All those could have actually been sold on if you weren't going to play in the finals in 2006. And what you'll be able to trade for is your injured players or your future breakout players coming superstars. Isaac Heaney is a classic example, who only averaged 73, but he's going to be a fantasy stud. Now, if he was filling up and you could have swapped Nick Riewoldt for Isaac Heaney, it would have been an easy sale for someone contesting for the finals, and you would have made sure that you've got a fantasy stud for the next 5 to 10 years in Isaac Heaney's case. And just for example, and this is what I did in my keeper, I was able to gain Dane Beams, Jack Billings, Josh Dunkley, and Jacob Hopper for two aging stars at the end of the 2016, being James Kelly and Lee Montagne. So that's an example of, I knew I wasn't in for a premiership for 2016, and I could swap two players that were going to be important for someone's premiership tilt and actually stock up. Dane Beams wasn't playing, just sitting on their reserve bench. Jack Billings, Josh Dunkley and Jacob Hopper weren't sitting in their teams, and off we go. They get a forward and a defender that was both performing really well. I think James Kelly was in the top two or three defenders for the year, and those type of players really helped their cause.
Yeah, no doubt, and that's something you alluded to. That was one of your tips and tricks from last week, and that was the win-win trade. And, you know, if you're restocking, you absolutely want to improve your fortunes going forward, so rebuild quick. But on the other side, if you're, you know, close to a flag, like you said, fantasy flags are hard to win. So if you can do whatever you can to shore it up, and I mean, if you traded in Nick Riewoldt for Isaac Heaney, wow, man, you got that 200-pointer potentially in the last round, depending on which matches are your finals. I mean, that's fantastic, but Nick Riewoldt's not long for the AFL, whereas Isaac Heaney's about to go kaboom.
And this is the side of list management that I absolutely love. And some people say there's no way I'm trading Nick Riewoldt for Isaac Heaney, but when you think of the long game, it's absolutely huge. It's like property investors. The results aren't coming straight away, but if you can actually get it right at the right time that suits your team, then there are huge rewards for you, because Nick Riewoldt's 5 years retired when Isaac Heaney's at his peak.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, like with these guys, you might be wrong for a year, but you certainly want to jump off them before they fly off the edge of the cliff.
And it's like list management in a club. You got to look at your age profile. You got to look at your breakout profile. Or you might take, I mean, I'm taking a punt on Jacob Hopper, but he might only play 60 games of footy and average 70. That's a risk, there's no doubt. And you've always got to assess that. But the reality is, if you look and say your most of your players are between 24 and 27, then you know that your team's at its peak or in the premiership window, for want of a better term. And that's the way you've got to look. And I'd rather my bench players and my emergencies all being 19, 20-year-olds that are highly rated ball magnets. That's what I want because they're the next ones to call up. Yes, you get a few injuries and you've got an 80 average person rather than the potential 110 average person, but you know they're going to build there. It's not a Sean Grigg you're adding onto your list. It's an Isaac Heaney. That's an example.
Yeah, that's it's all part of the game, I guess. You got to take a gamble. What about when you're cutting players? Obviously, if you're only keeping 10, you are, and kind of cut those guys. Like we saw last year, your Sean Griggs and your Ed Kernos obviously came out with fantastic seasons. What are you looking for when you're selecting, you know, this guy's probably a round 11, round 12 kind of guy? Is there any one thing, well, maybe one thing, a couple things that you look for? Is it just round value when you're cutting guys, or upside or downside? Or what do you think there?
It's also about role. So you look, it's comparison to what the rest of your list looks like. So two people might have, for example, we used him before, Sean Grigg. Now, a Sean Grigg at his peak can be around the 100, but the reality is he's an 85 to a 90 averaging Dream Team player. If you've got a lot of young midfield depth, so you only need one or two to break out that year, then he's an easy cutoff list because you'd rather keep a Hopper than a Sean Grigg. But on the other side, if they're all very young, or your really high-scoring players are starting to get to that 31, 32, which is the dreaded age for me, 32, once they're getting that point, then you might need to keep a Grigg just for that team balance, if that makes sense. So it's how everything actually sits for you, what your demographics are, and what your needs are. Now, for example, one of my cut lists is going to be, you know, a mid-range ruckman. And it's because I've got Paddy Ryder sitting on there and going, well, I'm going to back Paddy Ryder in. And when I come to draft time, I'll just get up a backup ruckman for Paddy Ryder. Now, last year was exactly the opposite. I kept that ruck player because, and it's Matty Lobe, for those that want to know. So I'm backing that Paddy Ryder is going to get the number one gig and Matty Lobe's not. And there's another case. If you want to build your backup group, I like to match. So a Dusty Martin's going to get more midfield time if Trent Cotchin is injured. So I'd rather Trent Cotchin and Dusty Martin to be there, just using those two as an example. And I do that with the rucks too, where you have your number one ruck and your number two. So Nick Knapp and Lysett, perfect setup, because if one goes down, the other one's getting more game time.
Yeah, it's a real common NFL strategy we'd used, and we sort of talked about it a lot last year heading into the draft, and that was handcuffing your players. And I think Nick Knapp and Lysett were a perfect example, where I think even Jono mentioned Tippett and Sinclair, although it didn't obviously work out. Sinclair didn't take it, but you weren't spending a particularly high pick to get Sinclair. But if one goes down, the other's going to go bang. And yeah, that's we've talked about a number of strategies that can be applied from other fantasy sports to fantasy football. But that one's fantastic in a keeper league. One other question I'd like to ask you, and we put a Twitter poll out on this, and it was, who would you prefer to have in a long-term keeper? Was it Callum Mills from the Sydney Swans or Christian Petrarca from Melbourne? And the reason I asked it was because Callum Mills projects as going into the midfield and losing that defensive eligibility, whereas Christian Petrarca, if you listen to the link we sent via an interview with the Champion Data guys, they project him to be a forward in the long term, but an elite forward a la your Paul Chapman's. Who would you prefer? I mean, the scoring could be higher for Mills, but the position of, look at the decimated forward line this year.
It was my exact response. CP is the right option because because of his tank issues, he's most likely going to keep his forward status as well as rotate through the midfield, so get his point scoring up, where Callum Mills is most likely going to be the higher scorer of the two. But I think long-term, maybe not in the short, but certainly long-term, he's going to be a straight midfielder. So CP was actually my answer.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm just, I guess the question is, how can fantasy players identify these sort of things going forward? Who will lose the dual position? Because we see these young players come in and they invariably start forward or back because they don't have the tank to play pure mid. So how can we identify the guys who might keep it from those who might not?
Yeah, look, that it's a tough one because it's fine to plan here right now with the coaches that they have because they have a coaching philosophy and a game plan that you can suit. But, you know, six bad results, the coach can change. You've got a brand new philosophy. So it's a bit of a risk. I know we've had this discussion before, but I'm a fan of the leagues that actually change positions because I see it as another strategy, another thought process of how you manage that and watching the games to get an indication of what might happen. So I try to keep ahead of what's going on, which gives me, seeing I do my research, another opportunity to get ahead of the opposition coaches. So I suppose I like it because I see it as another opportunity to defeat someone with the thought process. But look, it's very hard, other than knowing as much information about the players as possible. It's unfortunately a bad time of year for that because everyone's getting more midfield time. Curtly Hampton's not getting a run in the defence. He's just starting straight in the midfield. So it is a little bit tough in that way, but understanding the clubs, the game plans, the game styles, and what attributes the players have, it's a form of talent ID, which I think is critical for AFL clubs, but I think is getting more critical for those that want to be really serious in keeper leagues.
Yeah, it's certainly... I know switching from a salary cap format to the draft format, you just find yourself watching more football because you need to be aware of what's happening. You can't just sort of rely on the maths to get in front of your mates. And obviously, if you play in a league with the position changes, but that's fine. Like we've said, there's a lot of different formats and whatever suits your league is what suits your league. So if you play in a league with those changes, you have to watch more, stay ahead of the curve even more, or listen to fantastic podcasts.
Very true.
What would you say... this is one I threw out at you, just a little bit of a strategy piece. Redrafting a player you've cut, or there's players you might cut because you maybe they're not the flavour of the month, maybe they're not being spoken about, so you might even get them at a fantastic value. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. It's to be honest, it's one of my strategies. I cut players that I know I can get back, if that makes sense. So if we talk about lunch meat yet again, I may be able to cut him but pick him up in the fifth round. So if I feel comfortable with saying I can release a Devin Smith because there's a lot more talk about Delidio and Toby Green, then I might be able to free up and ensure that I retain a Jack Billings and also pick up a Devin Smith on the way back at round five. So I end up with what I perceive as two long-term gun forwards. So I certainly use that as a strategy in... I keep probably 8 of my 10 because I definitely do not want to lose them, and probably keep the other 2 because I know it'll be harder for me to get them back and easier for others to get back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's just guys you're high on.
Absolutely.
So we want to talk about some of the younger players who have got a dual position status, and whether they're fringy keepers, how locked in are they, and what are your thoughts on these guys, Statesman? Because the people want to know who to keep. We'll start it off. We've got Jacob Hopper. You brought him up before. He's forward eligible.
Yeah, no, rate him very, very highly. He's a magnet as well. The issue and deficiency is the opportunity, but I think that's actually changing at GWS. And I think with their list management controls, they had to delist a certain amount of players at the end of last year. And if you looked at the draft and the rookie draft, when you're picking up Matt DeBoer and Tendai Mazungu, you're looking for depth. So I think people probably overestimate the amount of high-quality players that are fringing on GWS now. So I think a Hopper, especially with the Lockie Whitfield situation, that's been in the system now a couple of years, I think he'll start getting some good game time. And I think he's a definite keeper. He's certainly one of my 10.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the Whitfield situation. You'd imagine he gets a fantastic run at it early in the piece, which gives you a good opportunity, whether, you know, you might be able to trade him out at a huge value, or just you're going to be able to laugh at your league mates.
Absolutely. And with the Whitfield situation, I think it's really important that we understand what happens at footy clubs, and that's injuries. Every club suffers injuries. So it's once you get the opportunity, you're performing well, someone will get injured. So a Whitfield comes in, is going to replace not someone on the ground that's been performing well. He's effectively going to replace a top-up player that's come in to cover for injuries. That makes sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't knock good form unless your name's Ross Lyon and your player's Michael Barlow.
Correct.
The next guy we're going to talk about, he actually ended up going into this year, he'll be a top 10 forward based on last year's average, and that's Isaac Smith, who's mid-forward.
Yeah, I loved him as a rookie, and he had probably an 8 to 10 week spell, I think it was 2, maybe 3 years ago, where he was around that sort of 100, 101 mark in Dream Team. Which I'll call a leap, but he did drop away that season, the second half of it. I think he's one that you pick up redrafting. I don't think he's an urgent keeper, and I think now Sam Mitchell has gone. It's either him or Jager O'Meara that's going to be the tag option through the midfield at Hawthorn.
Okay, so he has had a couple of 95-ish average years, obviously dropped back last year. Maybe the contested ball winners help him out a little bit, or?
Oh, look, it could do. With a keeper, if he's your number one forward, I can understand why you'd keep him. But if he's your number two, you just got to put in a comparison of what you got in the midfield, what your up-and-comers are. Ask me whether I'm keeping Isaac Smith or Lunchmeat, I'm keeping Lunchmeat. Whether it's Isaac Heaney or Isaac Smith, it's definitely Heaney. So it's just getting that balance right. It all depends what you've got in there, because Heaney's for 10 years, and I think he's going to be ultra elite.
Well, what about comparing him to the aforementioned Jacob Hopper? Because Smith's going to help you right now.
Yeah, and that's getting that balance right. And it just all depends where you're sitting, but he's on that fringe to me, whether he's an actual keeper or not. But it all depends on your balance. Hopper and him, I would understand why most people will go Heaney, but Isaac Smith, but I'm pretty hot on Hopper.
There you had it, hot takes. Next guy's interesting, defensive midfielder, Hamish Hartlett.
Yeah. I'd keep him. I think with the forwards, there's a bit of a dearth of elite, but I reckon that mid-range and breakouts is a huge. You're talking Jack Steele, Caddy, Isaac Heaney, Jack Billings. It's just the list goes on in that sort of mid-range breakout groups. I see less of that in defence. If you've got someone like a Hamish Hartlett as a defender, you keep him.
Next guy's probably a bit fringy. Matthew Broadbent, defender midfield.
Yeah, again, it's a balance. He's like Isaac Smith. It really depends on your balance and what you've actually got. I could understand keepers keeping either one of those.
He feels like a guy you could redraft pretty easily, though.
Yes, he does. He's not the name, and I think you'll find the friendly ghost has probably taken over as the number one defender there, Jasper Pittard.
The next one is interesting because you mentioned him as a keeper yourself. I'm probably not high on him at all. Patrick Ryder, ruck forward.
Yeah, he's a keeper because I got him off the waiver wire. My other one was Matthew Lobe. So it was my weakness in my team. I've got up-and-comers everywhere. Matthew Lobe, I thought, was going to be a breakout contender being on his Pat Malone this year. That didn't materialise. We saw him average, I think, 87 about 4 years ago. He re-signed a very large five-year contract, and unfortunately he's been downhill ever since. Paddy Ryder is a high 80s, low 90s potential, and when he plays in the ruck, he certainly can score big. So if that's the role he gets, and he's predominantly a ruckman, I think he's in that sort of second group of rucks along with Jacobs and co.
Okay, I might skip the next guy, Josh Caddy. You would obviously be keeping him.
Yes.
So we'll move on to another fringy kind of guy, rated as elite by Champion Data, Shane Edwards, mid-forward. Next guy, Mr. Blake Akers, mid-forward, gets the nice forward status. That's got to be tempting.
Yeah, I think he's one that, again, it's the balance thing. He's very fringy, to be quite honest with you. I'd rather take the punt and try and redraft him. He's not the type that I'm going to think I'm going to balance or build a premiership round. And that's the way you sort of got to think. I think Jack Billings is the one out of their small forward group that's potential the real big scorer.
Okay, well, we'll skip Jack Billings because you'll obviously be keeping him and move on his new teammate of the same name, Jack Steele, who's mid-forward.
The man of steel. Like him a lot and think he's got huge potential. Someone's going to suffer because of him, and I don't know who it is in the midfield, and maybe he's already suffered in David Armitage. But I think that's where his role is. I think they got him for his size to be that strong inside midfielder, and he'll play there. He'll be sitting as a forward status for the 1 year, so he's definitely a keeper, and he proves whether he's going to be a keeper for the future in the midfield this year.
To me, it feels like he's going to do enough to average around 90 as a forward. Yeah.
Yep. So therefore, I'm hotter on him than I am Isaac Smith.
Sure. So next guy, Kobe Stevens, mid-forward, onto his third club.
Shane Edwards. Now, Shane Edwards, what do I think about
him? Okay.
He showed a lot of promise. Ball magnet as a junior. I think I had him at salary cap at some stage at West Coast Eagles. It hasn't materialised. I'm trying to work out what St Kilda wanted from him. I haven't quite nutted that out. I'm thinking it might be a stoppage player in the midfield. A tagging player in the midfield. So I don't know whether, you know, there's been many outside Kane Corns for a very short period, Michael Barlow, that have proved being worthwhile scoring-wise. But who's he replacing in the midfield if Jack Steele's already going in there?
The hard thing is, why is he moving to his third club if he's not going to get game time? It feels like he could have moved to a different club and maybe been at least best 24.
I'm unsure who that club is, though.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's just Kobe Stevens.
Yeah, very, very good depth player. And if he gets a release role in the midfield, he's going to score really well. He's a really good, honest player. Whether he sort of fits in their structure, I don't know. He might prove me wrong, but there's too many doubts, so I wouldn't keep him.
This guy's really interesting to me. Swans boy, defensive mid, Jake Lloyd.
Yeah. Defensive mid.
Defensive mid. We used Jake Lloyd a lot as a late pickup last year in the midfield, but that's his status, and I'm really intrigued.
What did he average last year?
No idea off the top of my head, but I can tell you on a week-to-week basis, he was good for around 90, and he certainly knocked out a ton here and there.
And going into his fifth year, 23 years of age, interesting. He hadn't been on my radar. He obviously is right now. Because he was midfield, he just didn't really spark there. I didn't realise he'd hit defender status. That puts him up the rankings quite dramatically. We'd have to see them in pre-season to make sure he's guaranteed the spot. They've got some real good young talent there, some academy kids on the way through. Actually, I'm quite intrigued with that one. Wasn't on my radar previously. And Caleb Sinclair, I was hot on last year and was wrong.
Yeah, I think a few people got their fingers burnt by Callum Sinclair. The next guy lost defensive forward status, but picked up, I guess you could say, midfield forward status. One of the most frustrating players to own, Elliot Yo-Yo.
Oh, I've been on his bandwagon for way too long. I'm no longer on it. And I'm surprised he got the forward mid. He's got a wonderful leap on him, a great mark, and he can bust open a game but doesn't do it regularly enough. I thought he got enough time in the midfield this year to be an elite scorer. He was nowhere near it, unfortunately. So I think that he's one that I wouldn't keep. And he's going to have 105 average 1 year. It's just going to come out of nowhere. It's going to be a blinder year and then go back to his old ways. I can just see it. Great football player. I don't know about great fantasy player.
This one's an interesting one because he's injured at the moment, so you might consider keeping depending on your team, and that's ruck forward Scott Lysette from the Eagles.
No, he's never going to be the number one ruckman.
How about from the Bulldogs, Josh Dunkley, who's mid-forward and certainly showed a fair bit last year.
On my list, averaged over 80 in his first year. He's forward. He's going to be in the midfield. He's going to be part of that team for a long period of time. I'm hot on him and Swans. Maybe they thought he was a bit too much like a couple of their current ones, but they gave up a father and son opportunity on him, so that was quite interesting.
Well, he looked good from day dot in the pre-season, so that was, yeah. Anyway, how about his teammate? Now that some of the depth's gone, Lin Jong, mid-forward. Statesman's giving me donuts here. So we'll move on pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't know about Lin Jong. I think he's quite capable of scoring well. I just don't know if he's going to get enough opportunities.
Yeah. And this guy, this one's certainly an interesting one. Mid-forward, Mitch Wallace.
Yeah, coming back from injury, no.
Well, that's all the young dual position players, aside from, well, I didn't mention the draftees, but how about we talk about some of the older players in the league, Statesman? We know you love the over 30s. We see you,
yeah, the rippers.
We see you down at the, well, we'd see you down at the, well, you know, I'm a big fan of the over 28s disco. Do some of my best work there, prior to Mrs. Fizz, of course. Obviously, you're not long for it. But let's run through them anyway to see what you think about them. Whether you, like, I mean, there's some elite guys on here. You could keep them. Maybe you want to trade them out during the year. I don't know. That's certainly up to you. So starting off at Adelaide, we got Eddie Betts and the biceps himself, Scott Thompson.
Who was the first?
Eddie Betts.
I wouldn't keep Eddie Betts. And if I wouldn't still have Scott Thompson.
Yep. Let's get to Brisbane. Possibly going to be the number one ruckman in the competition this year, Steph Martin.
Yeah, if I had him, I'd definitely be keeping him. I think he's got a huge potential. If I was out of premiership race because he's 30 this year, I might look at getting a gun future ruckman and something else for him to try and seal someone's premiership for him.
How long do you think Steph's got left?
I don't know whether – was he the top scorer or just the top averager last year?
Or 2 years ago. Oh, sorry, last year, I guess, because it's 2016. He was right there. He was the top scorer. Or was he – him and Goldstein were right neck and neck. He might have been the top scorer.
And he played the whole year.
Yeah, I think he was the top scorer because Goldie missed the one match when they rest everyone.
Well, this is my issue with Steph Martin, and I've been all over this man. I loved him, and I hit him on his first, you know, extreme patch of scoring. But I'm pretty sure Steph Martin has only ever delivered once for a full year.
That's right.
So at 30 years of age, you've done it once. Yeah, I don't know if that's keeper material, if that makes sense. But I am big on his scoring potential. So if I had him and didn't have a solution for him, then yes, I'd keep him. But I'd be ready to barter.
Yeah. From Carlton, last year's number one fantasy defender, Cade Simpson.
Yeah, again, wouldn't mind having him. I would keep him. But again, out of the picture, he's trade bait.
Collingwood. Daniel Wells lost the forward status.
No, thank you.
Okay. Essendon, we got a few. We got Job Watson.
Yeah, you would have kept him a long time, obviously. Well, firstly, I wouldn't have him, and I wouldn't have kept a spot on the list for him after they were suspended. If I had him, he'd be trade bait as soon as possible.
How about this guy? This guy's a fantasy gun over the journey. Brendan Goddard.
He was part of that list where if you were out in 2016, he should have been traded on to get your hoppers, your lunch meat and co.
Okay, so if you've got him, if you're in the premiership race, you'll hang on. But if you're out of it, you'll be getting some value.
Yep, absolutely.
Brent Stanton.
Yeah, ditto. It's a weird, such a great scorer for a long period of time, but I've never been a fan. But I didn't like the way he got criticised for his football. So I was a fan of his as a football, wasn't a fan of him in Dream Team, which doesn't make any sense because I reckon most other supporters were exactly the opposite.
Yeah. He's been a fantastic, consistent scorer for a number of years. What about this guy, one of your favourites, I guess, James Kelly?
Yeah, again, he was on my list that in contention – You ride him. If you were out, you should have traded him in 2016. So he wouldn't be on my list now.
So you wouldn't be keeping him this year?
No.
No. Fremantle, we've got a few. We've got Aaron Sanderlands.
No.
David Mundy.
With the option of being trade bait. Hopefully he gets a few big scores, gets the freedom now, fives back, then trade him.
Yep. I think this guy's got defender status this year. Daniel... Does he? He might only be mid.
If he's mid, no. Defender, certainly think about it.
I'll skip over old kebab shop Johnson. Move to Geelong. Harry Taylor. What about for your super coaches? He's a little bit better there. Or just too long in the tooth.
How long has he got yet?
Well, this year probably, and that's it.
Yeah. So, therefore, two good scores, trade him.
Gold Coast, you got the little master.
I said I wouldn't draft him. I had him at number 23 in my top 30. If he was sitting in my team now, this time of year, before we need to bid in the list, absolutely I'd keep him. Because otherwise he's going to be number one draft pick on the way out and someone else gets the value. But it doesn't mean during the preseason that I trade him for someone, if that makes sense. But you need to keep him to keep his value.
Sure. GWS, Heath Shaw.
Yeah, keep him. If you're out of contention, trade him at the end of the year. But how many 160 potential scorers have you got in your defence?
I'll skip Stevie J because I don't think, even I can tell you don't need to keep him. Shane Mumford.
Yes, I've had him in a lot of leagues and generally disappointed. Can score as a brute of a man, trade bait, but you need obviously something else there.
Ryan Griffin.
No.
Straight no, love that. From the Hawks, we're talking about the fantastic, fantastic defender himself, Sean Burgoyne.
Oh, no way.
I've written his name down twice. He's that good.
He's a quality player, certainly worth trade bait. I wouldn't have thought that he's averaged over 80 many times. So in a keeper league, you get a run of good scores. You trade him while he's hot.
Would you consider redrafting, or would you consider drafting him, you know, say round 16?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, Jared Roughead.
With all reports the way they are, you probably would at the moment, but why is he on your list right now, if that is the interesting question? I think he's one that is on the waiver wire, and we're picking him up through the draft.
Fair enough. Josh Gibson.
He's a potentially big scorer. He's getting to that age. He would have been traded out if he was on my list 2016.
I reckon I'd cut Josh Gibson if I kept 10.
Yeah, you've wasted if you haven't traded him already.
Luke Hodge.
Yeah, the same deal. He would have been traded or...
So you wouldn't. You'd have to cut him.
No, you keep him. He's like Gary Ablett. You keep him on. You keep him as one of your 10. And you trade him as soon as he plays one good game.
Is that going to happen?
Yeah, pre-season he'll play a couple of rippers. People love Luke Hodge. He's got the potential to do 110.
Ugh, when he plays a team that turns it over ad nauseum, when he doesn't play one of them, he stinks.
No, but look, he's a long-time high scorer and someone will love the name.
From Melbourne, we got Jordan Lewis. You got to keep him.
Yeah, he's only 30.
So,
he's a good scorer.
Bernie Vince.
Yeah, I'd love to understand his role and the way Melbourne are coming through the younger ones. I don't know what his future is there. He's certainly got another solid 12 months. So if he's got defender status, you keep. If he's only got mid, you don't.
I think we can skip North Melbourne. They got Sam Gibson and Jared Waite. So we'll move straight on to Port Adelaide with Justin Westhoff.
It's all about balance, but he's very fringe.
He seems like a guy who could play on for a few more years.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'd have to check, but I think his Port point scoring has gone down. And yeah. He had a burst a couple of years ago of, I think, the first five rounds was some incredible feat. And then I traded him in and disappointed from there on.
Well, when they let him roam, he scores. But when he plays forward, he stinks.
Yep.
St Kilda, we got new defender, Lee Montagna.
Same deal with Hodge Ablett. You keep him, trade him out, or you should have traded him out already.
Yep. Nick Riewoldt.
You definitely keep if you got. He's the perfect, you'll get a lot of value out of him. So make sure you use him before your career is over with him. So you either let him retire and you get nothing for him. This is where the list management comes in. To me, Nick Riewoldt is worth an absolute fortune. There's gold in them hills. Use the gold.
All right, we'll move on to Sydney, where we've got a bloke who has apparently, what has he got, like 5 years left in his contract? Buddy.
Oh, yeah, you keep.
Yeah. Jared McVeigh.
No. I think he's past it.
So he wouldn't even
game
keep
one should have. No, I wouldn't have thought so. I don't. Okay. His name probably had a bit 12 months ago. I think that's even faded now.
Wow. West Coast Eagles, we've got Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, you'd be only doing it for trade bait.
Okay. Matt Prittis.
Yeah, you keep him, but I'd be moving him on somewhere throughout the year, depending on what your situation is.
And we'll move on to the Bulldogs. We did have Lacroix, but I'm not too concerned about that. Robert Murphy at the Bulldogs.
No.
Matty Boyd.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Defender status.
He won't be playing the whole year. He's another one that you've got to utilise the value while it's there.
I think this guy has forwards.
I'm reasonably ruthless, if you haven't realised. There's not too much love in my team. It's just a quick letter saying goodbye, we've traded you too.
surprised you could be bothered writing the letter, to be honest. It might just be a text. Jeez. The last guy on the list, I think he's got forward status this year. I can be corrected on that. Liam Picken. It was the last name.
Yeah. If he's got forward status, he's worthwhile. Geez, great grand final. Or great final series. Is that a bit of terminology?
Yeah.
I think he's a real interesting one. It's a balance.
Yeah.
It depends. If he's the only really good forward you have, then you keep him.
Well, I've touched on a lot of strategy there. We've touched on some older guys, some younger guys. We've got some fantastic questions in our mailbag from the listeners who have got some questions about keepers and dynasty statesmen. So we'll crack into them. Question from Archie Keeler on the Twitter. Who do you take first out of this year's draft crop in a keeper? I guess that could be a dynasty, but it's a good question.
I've answered this as a 10 or a 12 keeper, and I've got the top three. And number one is actually number two from the rookie draft, being Jake Barrett from Brisbane Lions, who was previously on GWS's list. Now, he's one of these players that have been cut because they've had to do the list reduction. Absolutely starred in the NEFL, was big numbers man there. If he gets a run in their midfield, he'll rack up close to 100 average straight away. So monitor pre-season. I'd be quite serious on Jake Barrett. He's also that 21 years of age, so he's got the right age to follow. And out of the actual AFL draft, so the 18-year-olds that got picked up, number one and number three in the draft is who I'd go. Andrew McGrath is at Essendon. He probably will get the most football. He is a bit handball-based because he releases and runs. But the key here that he'll get defender status. So he was the one they were talking about that GWS wanted to get their hands on because he'll be a Heath Shaw replacement. So expect him to actually play from day dot in the Essendon Football Club, shoring up a line defence, becoming attacking defender. Will probably average between the 15 to 18 possessions in his first couple of years, but he will build up to be a 20 to 25 possession getter as a defender and close to a ton scorer in defence. So he would be the first one that I'd pick, and no surprise, he was number one draft pick. And Hugh McCluggage, Brisbane Lions, he's the class runner. He'll get an average of over 20 disposal when he gets up and running at AFL footy. I would be surprised if he doesn't get 10 to 15 games in his first year. He is the silky smooth one. He's the goal-kicking running midfielder. So there's a fair chance in his first 3 to 4 years that he'll be known as a mid-forward. So Jake Barrett, one. Number two, Andrew McGrath. And number three, Hugh McCluggage.
Archie, that's a great answer. Archie also asked, is Isaac Heaney worth a top 20 pick in a fresh keeper league?
Isaac Heaney. He's a great man. And this is the difference. If you're drafting for a league right here, right now, then Isaac's not in the top 20, and you'll hear that when we discuss our top 30. But if you're talking keeper league, all of a sudden he's in that mix. So my answer is, yes, he's worth it. The reality is, I think you're going to get him between 30 and 40. So maybe you should take a punt on someone that's a bit more established and get ready for your next pick. It's hopefully in the 30s, and you pick up a gun for a decade in Isaac Heaney.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We were talking about that before. And, he's set to be a fantastic player. We got a question here from Thomas Erdenoff. Everyone will be looking for a JJ-type running defender, everyone by every AFL team. Who do you think each team has in that position?
Okay, so I've run through the other clubs, and I'll give you the club name, the player name, and then a yes whether I'd pick them or not. Adelaide, Brodie Smith, yes, and a yes, I'll get burnt, but yes, I would.
Wait, it wasn't Kirtley Hampton?
No, but he's going to be in the midfield.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot.
Doesn't earn his spot through defence. It's straight in the guts. Everyone gets a run in the midfield in the preseason. Brisbane, Tom Cutler. Yes, I'm big on Tom Cutler, big scorer. Carlton, Sam Doherty. Absolute yes. Collingwood, James Aish. Burnt me in the grand final. 14 points versus Rewalt's 200. But look, he has potential and can score. Essendon have two. So the one we just talked about, Andrew McGrath, but also Aaron Francis might fill into that role as well. And I think, Steve, was your tip for the rising star from memory? Was it Jono's?
Jono.
Oh, Jono did something positive for Essendon.
Loves Essendon.
Well, there you go.
I know.
Essendon fans, please forgive him.
I had Jack Bowes.
And my answer is to them, no, but in the future, yes. Fremantle, Tom Sheridan, no. We all lived that last year.
This is a guy I streamed a lot last year because he was a forward and he played off the halfback. That was Hayden Crozier.
Yeah, I'm actually quite impressed with Hayden Crozier, but I think with the new phase of Fremantle footy that he might actually start becoming the mid forward.
Okay.
Got a great leap on him. He can take a spectacular mark, and I think that he's going to, if they ever get him, Harley Bunnell, Nat Fyfe and Hayden Crozier, I can see the three of them just being constantly rotated through because they can all kick goals and they all can burst through the midfield. But, look, Hayden played very well in defence, but they were pretty depleted last year, so it'll be interesting to see how it fits. Geelong, Cam Guthrie, yes. Gold Coast, KK, forgive him for this year. He's going to come back. GWS, Zach Williams. Hawthorn, Grant Birchall. Melbourne, Josh Wagner. But I'm unsure whether Josh keeps his defender status because he played a fair bit in the wing. And dare I say Salem as the other option. I'm so sorry. We'll just check whether Josh Wagner keeps his. I'll keep going from there on. One for salary cap, not so much for draft, North Melbourne, Mitchell Hibbard. Be quite worthwhile. There'll be some gems coming out of North Melbourne this year with their restructure. Port Adelaide, Jasper Pittard, yes. Richmond, Basher Hooley, yes. St Kilda, Shane Savage, maybe. Sydney, Callum Wills, I think so. And West Coast, I went, and maybe it's starting to identify who's there, rack up a lot of footy from half back, run and carry the footy. Now, some people may say Shannon Hearn, but he doesn't rack up a lot of the footy. He's quite good defensive and great skills. So maybe that's an area where West Coast have got a deficiency and a real attacking half back flanker. Because Brad Shepherd's not the one. Shannon Hearn doesn't get enough of the pill. He only averages 60-odd in Dream Team and nearly every year.
It was Wellingham.
Sherrod Wellingham gets on the park. He goes skateboarding.
Saying that's the guy that, yeah. That's the guy who was, they moved into defence who had the dash.
Yeah, I don't think he's... Well, their answers are as good as most of those clubs there.
Oh, no, certainly not. And that's a really interesting point and probably a great great question from Thomas anyway.
Very good.
From your best mate, Statesman, we got Big Cox on the Twitter. Wants to know, how long did you cry after... No, does he keep the faith with Jack Redden, hope Blixarves gains ruck status? Or does he trade in his keeper league for Isaac Smith?
Now, sorry, this is the man that beat me in the grand final.
Yes,
and he's asking me whether to keep Jack Redden. There's no way. There's no way if he's got Jack Redden in his keeper league that he should be beating me in a draft league. No offence. I'm not bitter and twisted at all. Yes, trade him straight away for Isaac. That's the best option. I'm sure you've got more successful mids in your group. Yes, we know Redden's got a great scoring history, but I struggle to see whether he's going to cement a spot in that midfield And he's not what they're after. They're after that line breaker, the Hugh McCluggage, the Chris Judd. That's what they need in that midfield, not another Sam Mitchell, Jack Redden, Matt Prittis. There's enough of those, if that makes sense. So I don't see him getting 80% game time in the midfield.
And our last question is from Ben Aldridge. He's hoping to join a fresh keeper league. We've inspired him with all our keeper talk we've been doing. Who would be our top 10 in a fresh keeper league?
Now, this was done very quickly, I must admit, and a little bit based around how I looked at a top 30 in a draft league. So then I put some perspective on it's keeper long term, so I took the plus 27s out. So I went very quickly: 1, Rockcliffe; 2, Mitchell, Tom Mitchell; 3, Patrick Dangerfield; 4, Lachie Neale. Sorry, this is based on Dream Team scoring, not Supercoach. 5, Adam Treloar; 6, Luke Parker; 7, Zach Merritt, although that was me more buoyed on Zach Merritt than yourself, Steve. 8, Dan Hannanbury; 9, Marcus Bontempelli; and 10, Sam Doherty.
Yeah, I don't mind Merritt in a keeper league. Obviously, Job's not long for playing in the AFL, so I think that's perfectly fine. Young ruckman Brody Grundy magically left out of that list. What are you? Where would you have Brody Grundy? Obviously, he's a fantastic talent.
Yeah, it's interesting. Grundy and Gawn's a big discussion point, and I think I need more sampling. We know the history of the rucks being 12-month wonders over the past 2 or 3 years. I'd like to see a little bit more sampling. I'm high on both of them, but I was high on Goldstein and Steph Martin last year. So I sort of want to be proved on being high on them yet before I would announce them in my top 10 of a keeper league draft.
Well, there you go, Ben. We hope that's a great answer for you. And that's all the time we got time for. Have you enjoyed this episode, Statesman? We know you love the keepers.
I love the keeper. We can do this show every fortnight, I think.
I like to contribute every now and again. So that's although I think my hosting's gone over a lot better than Jono's. Really brought a touch of class to the show.
Well, I was going to say, isn't it amazing we've been able to spend a lot more time on strategy, intelligent thought process, no bragging about premierships. It's been magnificent.
I don't think I've got any premierships to brag about in my recent history, so maybe that's the problem. Anyway, if you've enjoyed the show, let us know all about it with a fantastic iTunes review. They certainly help the show out. You can use that as an entry to the Listener League. We are accepting entries to the Listener League right now. We had a lot of fun last year. We've certainly got some big things planned for it this year. And you can submit those entries via all our social media outlets at The Draft Doctors on Twitter. Statesman, you're also on Twitter, is at TheStatesman33. And we're on the Facebook at where The Draft Doctors page. You can just type us in the search button, or we'll also be our email address is thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. We hope you all had a good Christmas and have a safe and happy New Year Eve, and we'll be back to see you in the new year.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.